speaking.
Hi, it's Francis. I'm calling about the writing opportunity you posted on Craigslist. 24-year-old male seeks experienced ghostwriter with excellent spelling and grammar for suicide note. No time wasters. Non-smoker preferred. I already sent you an email with some writing samples earlier today. You gave me this number to call.
Francis, of course. Thanks so much for getting in touch. Basically, I'm planning to kill myself. But I'm not much of a writer, so I was hoping to maybe hire someone that could write my suicide note for me. If that all sounds okay.
Yeah, of course. Just happy to be considered.
Well, actually, you're the only person who's applied. If you want to do it.
I got the job. Wow. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I promise I won't let you down. Hang on. I know it's a bit keen, but I've already written you a killer opening line. I'll send it to you. There you go.
Here it is. Neil's suicide note, first draft. Why have you written that it's based on a true story?
Artistic license. Now, picture the scene. The paramedic pries open your cold, dead fist to retrieve this note, and the first thing they read is...
Yup, that's me. I bet you're wondering how I ended up in this situation. It might be a bit... informal.
I thought the casual tone would make you relatable. A regular guy type character that the audience would be familiar with.
I'm really not sure that's the tone I'm looking for.
That's going to be tough then, because I really don't see you as a brooding anti-hero.
Could we maybe move away from this main character stuff?
Yeah, you're right. We should have started by talking about genre. Given the dark subject matter, I think it's probably a drama. Although we definitely need to add in some comedy. You know, to break the tension.
Break the tension?
Also, what do you think about having a twist ending?
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. I know, how about it ends with me killing myself?
Yes, but the reader doesn't find out you've killed yourself until the end of the letter.
Oh, for goodness sake.
It starts out like a nice conversational note and then Shyamalan! They find you dead in your room.
Except, I'm not dead, because I was really a ghost the whole time.
I like the way you're thinking, but that's plagiarism. Now, have you thought about who you want the villain to be?
A villain? Why would there be a villain?
Neil, you're going to take your own life. The villain's obviously whatever caused you to want to do this. Although, in the letter, we'll anthropomorphise that feeling into a bad boy with a husky voice and leather trousers. You know, add a bit of fan service for the mums.
What caused this? I don't know. Nothing in my life's actually wrong.
Well, then how do you feel?
Not even really sad. It's more like everything's just a long, hard slog. And I feel heavy and exhausted all the time. Even when I haven't done anything all day, it's kind of, have you ever had a job that you really hate where your boss is an arsehole and your co-workers are idiots and every minute seems like an hour, which you know because you watch the clock obsessively until it reaches 5 and you can finally go home? Well, I just can't seem to go home.
Is that right? Well, we can't write this note until we know what's causing you to feel this way.
But...
Sorry, Neil. A good narrative needs a villain. Tell you what, I actually know someone who could help us. They're a psychologist. They can help you figure it out.
Psychologist? A psychologist? No, what if they tell someone?
That would be excellent foreshadowing. But I think the sessions are confidential.
I guess... I want work to find out.
What's the worst that could happen? You die from embarrassment.
I take your point. I'll speak to the guy.
It's a woman.
I'll speak to the woman and I'll find out who the villain is. We had
Good morning, Neil. Sorry we haven't had much of a chance to catch up this week. How did the therapy go? Any luck finding out who the supervillain of our story is?
Or Dr. Pachinska thinks my villain's a major depressive episode caused by a chemical imbalance in my brain.
Oh no! I wanted it to be schizophrenia. Schizophrenia would have given us a much better chance at the Oscars. It's very topical this year.
See, Julius, I told you.
Ducky, is this really the time?
Oh, I'm sorry. This must be very difficult for you.
No, it's fine. It can't be helped.
Anyway, she told me to come see her next week and she's given me a prescription for Cetraline. An SSRI antidepressant.
Well, that's good. I'll be sure to include them in the narrative of the letter. So I started to take my antidepressants. Happy pills. I thought maybe this was a way out. It can be a red herring. People read it and think, this is where the story starts to look up. But nope! Kablamo! Dead!
The thing is, I'm not sure I want to take them. Isn't it like a thing that people hate taking their meds?
Like who?
I don't know, like in movies and stuff? They're always worried it'll make them less creative, or they'll lose part of themselves, or feel weird, or something. I don't know.
Look, mental illness only exists in movies so actors can win awards. Just like black characters only exist in books so Scarlett Johansson can play them in the film. None of it's anything like in real life. In real life, meds are fine. Loads of people take them. Hell, even big superstars like Bruce Springsteen take them.
Even the boss?
Uh-huh.
I never would have guessed.
I mean, he has a whole album called Darkness on the Edge of Town.
And you don't want me to play up the throwing away my meds like a renegade trope?
Oh, if we were making you a lawless anti-hero, absolutely. I'd tell you to empty them into the bin so they could be found later as proof that you didn't play by society's rules or listen to the medical advice of qualified doctors. But, like I said, you can't pull off anti-hero or troubled genius. It's just more in character for you to take them.
Okay, I guess I'll give him a go. Just to stay in character.
Thanks. Speaking of which, I've had some more thoughts about genre. I know we agreed on drama, but what do you think about framing it as a coming-of-age story? You know, like Stand By Me.
Isn't that the one where those four kids go looking for a dead body?
Exactly. And I believe you could be that dead body, Neil.
So basically I'd be a prop.
Well, more like a plot device. You're not a dead body. You're more a symbol of your friend's innocence. And when they lose you, what they've really lost is their childhood.
The idea's all well and good, but I don't really have any friends.
Well, then this isn't going to work. If you don't have any friends, then who's going to find a new lease on life when you die? Finally decide to quit drinking and write the next great American novel.
American novel? But I'm British and you're Australian, apparently.
Either way, you're going to need some friends.
But I don't know how. I moved away from home ages ago and there's not work I really get on with.
So join a club or society or hobbies group or something. You know, somewhere with people who like the same stuff you like.
But my hobbies are... I don't know, they're embarrassing.
Tentacle porn.
What? Oh, no. Pottery. Soap making. Embroidery.
All fantastic homemade Christmas presents. Nothing to be embarrassed about.
But don't you think... Men aren't supposed to do those things. And I'm never going to be able to make new friends if I don't have anything in common with other men.
I mean, to start with, that's false. Suicide is the single biggest killer of men under 45. So, you're one of the boys there. And, secondly, why do your friends have to be men?
Well, if I go to a club and it's all women, I don't want to seem like a creep.
Then don't act like a creep. I, for one, would love it if your friends were female. There are so few speaking parts written for women. This letter could be a real opportunity for someone.
Are you sure it's not weird?
You're gonna carve soap into the shape of your testes?
No.
Then I think you're fine.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll sign up for a club.
That's the spirit! Now get out there and give the speaking roles in your life to female characters.
Right.
Racially diverse if possible!
Neil, pick up already. Neil?
Hello?
Oh, yes, finally. Neil, hi. I've been trying to get through to you all week. I thought something might have happened to you.
What? Why?
Well, aside from the fact that the whole reason we met is because you want to fucking top yourself, haven't you been watching the news? The Rona is out to get us. The whole country is about to be put on lockdown.
I know, it's a nightmare. The Quilting Club are already putting together a patchwork blanket. You know, to raise money for the NHS.
Huh?
Oh, right. So the idea is that each patch will have a doctor from a famous movie on it and show how they'd help during the pandemic. I got Dr. Doolittle. What's the problem?
I'm just not sure that Dr. Doolittle is really relevant to this pandemic.
What? Just think how different things would have been if he'd been there to talk that bat out of jumping into the soup.
Sure. Hey, you said each square's a movie, right?
Right.
So, I guess you could say you're remaking these films seam for seam.
That's a good one. I'll have to tell it to the girls.
Well, anyway, you seem busy, so I won't keep you too long. I just wanted to let you know that I've finished the ending to your letter. So, you can kill yourself any time from now.
Oh, yeah, about that.
Hmm?
It's just that I'm going to be super busy for the next couple of months, what with the Quilt Club COVID movie project, and the Pottery Guild still meeting every Sunday over Zoom, and therapy. Dr. Pajinska says I'm making excellent progress, by the way.
Oh, that's super.
So, yeah, I might not be able to, you know, just for a bit. It's obviously no reflection on your work. Anyone would be lucky to leave a letter you wrote lying next to their corpse.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you to say. And look, the note belongs to you, so you can do with it what you like.
And you promise you won't be mad at me if I'm still alive next week?
I promise. Tell you what, I'll even send the note over now. Then when you decide to use it, it's up to you.
Okay, Francis. Thank you.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Oh, here it is. The document's titled Plot Twist. And it reads... Neil survives. The letter.
That's all I ever wrote. It was the only ending that really made sense. Neil? You there?
Thank you.
Plus, this way we've left room for a sequel.
Ah, wonderful.
Thank you.
Sublime.
I'm glad you liked it.
The tragedy of a tortured genius.
Wait, what?
Neil, of course. He'll have to be a tortured genius.
I mean, two things. One, Frances, the woman who told me about this, who lives in my building, she said he was getting better. Ergo, less tortured.
Saying ergo doesn't make you sound smart, Julius. It just makes you sound like a cock.
And two, I don't know if I'd call him a genius. I mean, he sounds like a nice enough guy, but...
In movies, if a mentally ill character isn't a dangerous nutjob, then they have to be a genius. Otherwise, what's the point of it?
Of being mentally ill? I don't think there is a point.
Well, we can't let the audience know that. That's much too depressing. No, we'll definitely have him be a genius. The Leonardo da Vinci of candle-making, or the Sylvia Plath of macaroni pictures. Tortured, but incredibly gifted. Oh, and in the end, he decides that being insane is a worthy price to pay for his wonderful creations.
I don't know. I mean, what if it makes mentally ill people who see the film more reluctant to seek help? They might worry that getting better means becoming less talented. That being less tortured means becoming less gifted.
You'd have to be totally crazy to think like that. But if you're really not sure about it, then... How about we have the main character fall in love with a woman? Then we can take out the psychiatrists and the drugs, and her love can be the only thing that can heal him.
Oh, you know what? I like that. That is so romantic. And she's like the only one that sees him for him. The man behind the pain.
These rubes are too easy.
What?
Nothing. Look, why don't you tell me the next one? Oh, I know. The one with the insatiable she-devil.
I think you mean the three insatiable she-devils.
Little Bonsai presents Plague Town. Written, edited, and directed by Freddie Valdosta. Performed by Freddie Gilbraith and Quinn B. Kirkland. Produced by Angus Lorenzo. Special thanks to Dolly Hill. The music you're listening to is Rebels by Will Champlin. We're on Twitter at The Little Bonsai and at Plague Town. Come drop us a line if you've enjoyed the show. You can also rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And if you know someone who might like the show, we'd love you to show it to them. Stay safe out there, saplings.